Are you tired of carrying the weight of grudges and past hurts? Join me and forgiveness expert Catherine Giovanni as we delve into the transformative powers of forgiveness. You'll discover the practical tools and personal stories that will inspire you to release resentment, reclaim your peace, and unlock the power to personal growth.
This is the Executor Help Podcast, the show for people who want the sense of security knowing all their affairs are in order. Avoid the stress and anxiety of what could happen to your estate, to your assets, and to your family when you're no longer here. Now here's your host, David Eady.
With me today is Catherine Giovanni. She is a three-time award-winning best-selling author of 12 books. Her latest work, The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, Unlocking Your Power. Now, the goal of the book is to give you profound insights into the transformative power of forgiveness. I'm going to say right off the top, Kathy, before we push to record, I told you my story, and I was interested in having you on for forgiveness. I'm not going to say I'm a guinea pig, but I hopefully at the end of this, I don't know if I'm going to feel any better, but you're going to help others. I know there's others listening out there who want to go down the path of forgiveness. So first off, thank you for being here on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And okay. I got your back. I got you.
Do you?
I got you.
Okay. All right. We'll see how this goes. Okay. So you mentioned, actually, when I was booking the call for have you on the show, you talked about a challenging experience you had with your grandfather's will. And it involved like three families in your conflict, which was a conflict. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when my grandfather died, and this was years and years ago, it was like 30 years ago, to be honest, apparently it was the most complicated will in Maine history. Lucky us. So it took years and years to probate and all that kind of stuff. And that all went away eventually. I had so many missives from the lawyers, I could wallpaper a den with them at one point. But it finally settled. Everybody went happy, but they still had the house. Right. And the house had to sell. So they left the house to the three families. There was my father's family, and it was my uncle's family, and my aunt. And that generation passed away. So it was left with the siblings and that kind of thing. In their wisdom, everybody thought we can take turns going up to the house and using it in the summer. And it worked very well until somebody decided they wanted to sell. Then it got ugly. Everybody started to fight. Okay, I'm the youngest in the family on both sides. I'm the baby. And I couldn't take it. So through email, I brokered the deal to get them to sell. And how I did it is I discovered that people just want to be heard. My cousins on one side and my brother and on the other, they all just wanted their ideas to be heard. But the thing about Northerners and Southerners, they don't speak the same language.
Right.
A Northerner, if they want to say something bad, they'll put it at the end of the beginning of the sentence. They'll say, with all due respect, and then they're going to punch your lights out verbally. A Southerner will put it at the end of the sentence and say, your baby's as ugly as a stump, bless his little heart. They'll put it at the end of the sentence. And I've lived in both areas for 30 years each. So I just translated what the Northerners said into Southern speak and brokered the deal. And then had to do a bunch of forgiveness work so I would be able to move forward.
So what strategies helped you in ultimately forgiving them?
I think sometimes you have to do some mental gymnastics. Forgiveness, the first thing about forgiveness is personal. It's selfish. You do it for you. You don't do it for them. You do it because you want to stop thinking about it. You want to stop when you see their name. You want to stop reliving the episode when you see their name on Facebook type of thing. You want to stop. You want them out of your head. Also, you don't have to contact the person with my method. You can do it in the privacy of your own home, and nobody has to know you're forgiving everybody, anybody. And the most important principle is if you forgive them, it doesn't mean they were right. It means you want to be free. No. It doesn't mean they were correct. It just means that I want to stop thinking about you. It's very personal. And it's not like AA where you have to make amends and do a fourth step and you have to reach out to these people. You don't. You don't have to talk to them. Just because I have forgiven you doesn't mean I want a relationship with you. I probably don't. I'm forgiving you for me because I need more light in my life and I need to move forward.
Wow. So from this experience with your grandfather's estate, I know you talked a little bit about, you got an understanding of how money can impact relationships. So what would you say to people to give them some advice when you're facing similar challenges in their families or personal relationships?
I think the first thing to understand is when you're dealing with that kind of a situation, people get a little crazy when it comes to money. And I've only been able to explain it one way in my life. Some people were born with an extra wire in their head. And when that wire goes off, they get crazy about money. And you're going to look at this person, say, I grew up with you, and you're being a Jekyll Hyde kind of person because you don't know when it's going to go off and you don't know who it's going to go off in. And understanding that wire probably just went off and probably has nothing to do with you is the first step. People are just people. The way I get to forgiveness, and in the book, I'll tell you to write a list of everybody you need to forgive. And then I want you to rate the level of anger from 1 to 10. Tens are unforgivable. We could talk about the unforgivable in a minute, but you know, rate them between 1 and 10. And you can forgive the ones, the twos and threes. Those are the silly ones. That's the person in grammar school who tripped you in the hall. That's the person in the grocery store when you got grocery cart road rage and they cut you off in the middle of the dairy, that kind of thing. You can forgive those people. It's really easy. But the hard ones, the tens, the eights, the nines, that's very hard. And the only way I could forgive my parents, for example, which were way up there. And I'm not a particularly religious person, but in the Bible, there's a passage and it said, Jesus is nailed up on the cross. He's probably bleeding out. He's probably in a lot of pain. And he says, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. I paraphrased.
Yes.
And I think it's forgive them, Father, they know not what they do or something like that. And what he's basically saying is, I can't get angry at a second grader because they don't know calculus. They haven't learned it yet. So I can't get mad at it. So my parents did the best they could with the tools they had at the time. Was it good enough? Absolutely not. But I can forgive that because they did the best they could. So when you see these people and their wires are going off, that's how I get to forgiveness. I think to myself, they're doing the best they can with the tools they have at the time. They just haven't learned about love yet. They haven't learned a few principles that maybe you have.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I have a 10 in my life. I talk about, even writing the book, the 7 years of 10 court appearances and $50,000 that I had to deal with a sibling. And there, I don't know. That's why I think it's a test where we're going to talk about the forgiveness. Clearly, they have that wire. And the forgiveness is not only just the court appearances. It took a toll on me personally. I ended up having to have triple heart bypass surgery because I kept all the stress inside. The three of us no longer own the assets that my parents owned. And we haven't spent the holidays together since 2010. We're fractured. The forgiveness, again, God bless if you can help other people, but I don't know what we're going to do with me. I think it could be over for me. But when it comes to that.
Ooh, a challenge. I love challenges.
Really? Okay. I know in the book you talk about forgiving the unforgivable. And yes. I guess what we're talking about here. So by working with energy around it. So have you got like another personal experience, or maybe you've got an example from your work where this approach has been particularly powerful?
Sure. Let me explain the approach first, and then I'll tell you the story behind my client. One of the things you're going to learn in this book is everybody's told that they need to forgive, but nobody teaches you how. I teach you how. And one of the things I'm going to teach you is it's called the forgiveness matrix, and there are a few steps to it. The first step is to get a list of people, places, and things. Stay with me. I did say places and things. And just stream it, right? And it's the people you're mad at. And maybe it's the places like your childhood home. Maybe it's the grammar school where you got bullied, that sort of thing. Just write things down.
Courthouse.
And I want you to label them from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And the 10s are unforgivable. Do you have to forgive the unforgivable? No, you don't. I'm probably the only one to say that. You don't have to forgive the unforgivable because you may not be able to, but there's other things you can forgive. One of the things you can forgive is you can forgive the places. You can forgive the people. You can forgive all of these things. Everything in the universe has an energy around it. Einstein proved that by saying energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just transforms. So when you get angry, everybody assumes that your anger goes from your mouth and your energy, and it just goes out into the universe and dissipates. Sadly, not true. It stays in your energy field. So the longer you stay angry, the darker your energy field is going to be until you're walking around in a little cloud. What forgiveness is going to do, it's going to transform that energy into a lighter energy. So you start to feel better. You start to feel better. You won't be getting as sick as much. Your stress will go down. Money will start to flow in your life. Why? Because you can see the opportunities now. Before, your anger is, it's all you can see. It's like holding up your hand in front of your face. You can't see beyond the anger. But once that cloud starts to clear, that's when you can see it. Now, I am telling you that you can forgive things. I forgave my grammar school because I got bullied terribly when I was a kid. I forgave my childhood home. I forgave the desk I did on my homework because my math tutor used to yell at me. Thank you very much. I forgave 1974.
What happened?
Why did I forgive 1974, you ask?
I was going to ask that.
It was a horrible year. It was a horrible year. 1974, I was in the eighth grade. My parents were getting an ugly divorce with all the bells and whistles of ugliness. And I was getting horribly bullied in school, really badly. And I tried to commit suicide. So when I looked at that year, I did forgive all the players in that year, but I thought, I'm just going to forgive the year. And you forgive the energy around everything. So when you forgive, I get asked all the time, I did forgive them, Catherine. Why do I have to do it again? Okay, you probably did. But did you forgive the energy around the person? Did you forgive the energy around the school? If you want people to stay forgiven, then using the mantra in my book, you forgive the energy around the situation. Now, if it's a number 10 person, like your family member, you don't have to forgive them. But you could forgive the energy around what happened. You could forgive the courtroom. You could forgive the will. You can for there's a lot of stuff around that situation that you can forgive, which is going to allow enough light to come into your life that you can move forward. I have a client. I won't tell you her name. I'll keep it down. But she bought my book. She read my book. She applied the steps and she went from an angry person who had no direction and didn't really know where she wanted to go in life. And then all of a sudden, on Facebook, I see her posting these positive things. I see her talking about the law of attraction. I see her talking about all these wonderful things. And it's like she was a changed person. And that's from after reading my book with Nepal Applying the Steps.
Oh, interesting. You've already helped me so far. So I can forgive the will. I can forgive the courthouse. The judge, the opposing lawyer. But I don't have to forgive that individual.
Have to forgive that individual. You can forgive the energy around that individual if not everybody can get even that. But if you can wrap your brain around, I'm not going to forgive her, but I'm going to forgive the energy around her, the energy around me, and the energy around the situation, that's going to help. Forgiveness is like an onion. Tens are hard. My number 10 took years to forgive. And it wasn't until I discovered the energy thing where I finally was able to move that 10 down to a 6. And now that my number 10 is probably at a 4. And I wrote the book and even my number 10 is probably not completely forgiven yet. They're hard. They're a bear. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And forgiveness is like an onion. It's you forgive the first layer and then there's more underneath. So if you forgive your number 10 and it didn't work. So you get up, you're going to forgive, you try and forgive the person. So you're going to get up, you're going to shake, you're going to walk around, you're going to shake your body, and then you're going to go back and maybe you can just forgive the energy and nothing else. And it's going to take a few passes. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to go back and keep forgiving them. Even if it's just lip service, you just keep forgiving this and eventually you'll be able to get down. But if you can't forgive the person, forgive everything around the person. And most importantly, please forgive yourself. That's the number one. A lot of people's number 10 is themselves. And it's very difficult to forgive yourself. So, for any role you may or may not have played.
So how do you navigate your forgiving yourself and the role that you've played, whether it's good, bad, or it's a painful situation?
I think you have to understand that your number 10 taught you things. My number 10s taught me what not to do, how not to raise a family, how not to talk to people. They taught me a lot of stuff. And sometimes being taught what not to do is very helpful. Your number 10s might have taught you how much courage you have in the face of disaster, in the face of getting raped, or in the face of the being in court with these loved ones and you're fighting with each other. It taught you how much strength you have. It taught you how much compassion that you have. Maybe it taught you how much love you have because you're seeing so much hate on the other side. It taught you about contrast. So I can forgive myself for becoming the person I had to be to get through that trauma. I can forgive that Catherine because she did what she could to get through the trauma, and I'm proud of her. And I can forgive that. But it took a lot of mental gymnastics for me to get there.
I can imagine. Holy smokes.
Hi, I'm Carol Roth, creator of the Future File Legacy and Wishes Planning System, and someone who understands the importance of planning for life's inevitable twists and turns. If you're like most people, thinking about your legacy and the administrative aspects of life's eventualities isn't exactly top of mind, but it should be. That's where FutureFile comes in. Designed to provide peace of mind for you and your loved ones, our system guides you through organizing your essential information, wishes, and assets all in one place. Whether it's dealing with healthcare decisions, managing digital assets, or ensuring your financial legacy is preserved, FutureFile has you covered. Our goal is to minimize the stress and financial burden on your family during what will undoubtedly be a challenging time. With FutureFile, you're not just planning, you're protecting those you love by leaving behind the greatest gift, clarity during chaos. Take the first step towards a thoughtful and organized legacy today by visiting futurefile.com/David. Use the promo code EXECUTORHELP and get an additional 15% off on your purchase. Let FutureFile help you help your loved ones when they need it the most, because peace of mind is a legacy worth leaving.
Now, there's thousands of books and articles that have been written about forgiveness, yet a lot of people still struggle with it. In your experience, why do you think forgiveness remains such a challenging concept for so many people?
I think people, when they see forgiveness, they think of their number 10 and they don't want to forgive them. I think people think, if I forgive them, it means they were right and they weren't right. They hurt me. They beat me. They took my money. They did this, that, and the next thing. They took my idea, my job, and they got credit for it. But that's not true. Forgiveness, those are the number 10s, but that's what people think. They see forgiveness and that's it. I used to teach this years ago, like 20, 30 years ago, when I used to train people how to be a concierge. And I did it back in the day where you didn't add soft topics to workshops. You didn't. It wasn't done. You wouldn't add forgiveness to a business workshop. You'd be laughed out of the business world. Yet I did. because I knew I couldn't teach people how to be a concierge and to practice five-star customer service if they were angry, because their anger was going to bleed through their body language. So I had to figure out a way to mitigate their anger. And I had to find a way to mitigate their anger during a shift when they probably couldn't walk away, because you can't always walk away from your desk. That's how I came up with forgiveness. And sometimes you print out an agenda and you give it to everybody. And magically, when I started talking about this topic, there was always one or two people that walked out. They just walk out. They had to go to the bathroom. Their phone would magically ring. They started to magically cough. And surprise, shocker, when I was done with this section, they'd magically float back. Forgiveness is a tough topic for some people. And it's mostly because your set point, your knee-jerk reaction is you go right to the number 10. And I'm telling everybody to start with the people who you labeled a one. Let me tell you a story. I had a number one from grammar school, high school, way, way back, like back in the 1970s. And I can't even remember why I was mad at this person. So I started with them. And I got in the middle of my bed. And there's no incense. You don't have to dance on one leg. There's no crystals. There's nothing you have to do. I put your hand over your heart merely to remind yourself to talk from your heart. And you say, I forgive you. And you feel it through your heart. So I forgave this person using the forgiveness matrix in the book. I hadn't talked to this person in a good 30 years. 2 hours later, they call me up on the phone. Here's an old word nobody's used in a long time. I was gobsmacked. I love that word.
Oh, gobsmacked. Whoa.
I love that word. Isn't that a great word? Gobsmacked. I was so surprised. Tried not to show it. Had to use a little acting skill. So we rekindle. We talk. 1 hour goes by. And I'm a curious little bear. And I said, I can't stand it. After all these years, why did you decide to call me today of all days? They said, it's the darndest thing. And a figurine you gave me back in high school, whenever it was, fell off my shelf, landed in the middle of my floor. I saw it and decided I should call you. We were 700 miles apart.
Wow.
2 hours before was exactly to the second when I was actually forgiving them. So if the energy of forgiveness can move energy for a number one forgiveness person, imagine what it can do if you get to the sixes, sevens, eights, and the nines, and eventually the tens. Imagine the energy that how it will move for you. But you got to start with the ones.
But suppose you don't have any ones.
You will. When you sit down and you write your list and you're writing people, places, and things, you might write your childhood home. You might write the desk you used to do homework at. You might write the desk that you had to go to study hall, or maybe you got in trouble at school and you had to go to the principal's office. So you might want to forgive the principal's office. There's always something like that in your past that you can forgive. Maybe your childhood dog bit you. Okay, put down the dog. Forgive the dog. Okay. There's always something you can write down. And you might have more than you might have multiple number ones or multiple number threes. You can have duplicates. It's fine. And I really like you to forgive them and forgive the ones to threes and then move on to the next group.
Okay.
And be kind to yourself. This is a process.
Well, and what about, I know you talk about in the book, forgiveness, that it's not too late for those who've passed away. How can somebody reconcile the need for forgiveness when you've got the challenge of forgiving someone who's no longer here? And does the process differ from someone who's living, that number 10, for example?
No, the process is the same, because you're forgiving for you, not them. Where they are or aren't doesn't matter a bit. It's completely immaterial where they are or they are not. This is all about you. It is not about them. We're not talking about them. It's not their feelings. I don't care if somebody has good feelings about this person and you have bad feelings. It doesn't matter. It's all about you. It's selfish. This is your party. It's all about you. Where they are or are not, doesn't matter. If it's a person you're mad at, living or dead, write it down in your list, because it's affecting your energy right now in the present. And it's holding you back. That's probably one of your blocks. That's what's holding you back. When you remove these blocks, it's going to allow you to see all these opportunities, and you'll be able to move forward and become the authentic self you always were meant to be. So you want to stop thinking about all this stuff.
Like, won't it slow down your for you to live your life going forward? That you're always being drowned in the thinking about that number 10. Like,
No,
I don't think about my number 10, but the
once you start, that's why you save the 10 for last. You start with the ones, the twos, you get up to the fives and the sixes, and you're going to start to feel better. Your life is going to start to change. You're going to start to physically, you're going to eat better, live better, breathe better, sleep better. I can't tell you how many people come to me because they have sleep problems. So you're going to start sleeping better. So by the time you get down to that part of your list, you're going to be ready for it because you're going to know what to expect because you've already forgiven everybody between one and eight.
Yeah.
Nines are hard too, but you've forgiven everybody between one and nine. When you get to that 10, you're prepared. You know what's going to happen. You're prepared for it. That's why you save them for last.
The fear of revisiting some painful memories can be a barrier for forgiveness for some people. Have you got any strategies or insights on how individuals can approach forgiving without being overwhelmed by the painful aspects of their past?
Forgiving the painful aspect of your past is going to allow you to stop thinking about it. I have some pretty, we all do, let's just put it that way. Nobody gets to be my age without having a lot of water under the bridge. And you have things that you like, you have things that happen to you, you have things you're not proud of. We all do. And I had it just as much as the other. And I didn't want to revisit it either because it brought too much pain. But if you have a situation like that, obviously that's not going to be a number one, a level one forgiveness thing. That's going to be up there. It may not be a 10, but that might be a 7. You save those for last. And in your heart, that I'm not taking the past cannot hurt you. It's done. The past cannot hurt you. You're still here. You're a new person now. And by letting go of the past, is going to prevent you, is going to allow you to move forward into the future. Now, when you're forgiving them, you don't have to dive too hard into that past. You could just say, my childhood home. You don't have to think about the memories in it if you want to. Just write it down and just look. My friend Katie wrote down a little red wagon. She had no idea why she wrote down a little red wagon, but I guess on some part of her memories, some part of her was mad at the thing. Maybe it happened, something happened to her when she was a little girl. Maybe she fell or something. She forgave an actual little red wagon, but she had no memory of why. So you don't have to dive too far into that memory if you don't want to. The world is your oyster, my friend. This is your party. You can either dive into it or not. And if your childhood home was that horrific, that's probably a 10. Save it for last.
In terms of the tool or the concept that you come up with, the forgiveness matrix, talk a little bit more about what it is and how the matrix entails and how it aids in the forgiveness process.
I think that the forgiveness matrix is just my way of saying there's steps involved to forgiving people. First, you have to be willing to even try. So then you get your list of people together. I've got my list of people. I've got some buildings in here. Maybe I was bullied in grammar school. Obviously, I put the name of my school and I wanted to forgive the building and maybe my desk and the locker they almost stuffed me in, that kind of thing,
Right.
right? And I can forgive those people. And then I got my list together and I'm going to start with the easy ones. So make sure you put down your childhood dog who bit my hand once. You've got some real easy ones in there. And then the next part of the matrix is you separate it into three groups. You separate it from one to three. That's group one. Then you've got the four to sevens. And then you got the eight to tens. And you slowly go through the list. But promise me, and to everybody listening, don't do more than 10 at a time. Do it at night so your body has time to recover. I did not do that when I discovered this method, and I forgave everybody I could think of and made myself really sick because once the forgiveness energy and the anger energy that I talk about has to leave your body somehow. Some people get really tired. Some people get thirsty. Some people will get a headache after they do this. Some people will get a stomach ache. To put it delicately, I was in bed for 3 days after I did that. I must have forgiven 50 people. And everybody thought I had the stomach flu. I did not. My body was just processing what I had done and getting rid of the energy. So just do 10 at a time. And that's why I want you to start with the easy ones so your body has time to recover.
And why would you do it just before bed? Wouldn't all of those thoughts and the process that you went through Wouldn't that play on your mind, and would you be able to get a good night's sleep after it?
No, I got a great night's sleep after it because I felt better, and then my body was resting, so it was allowing the energy to leave my body, and it was allowing my body to heal itself while I was sleeping. Your body heals itself while it's sleeping.
Right.
So I always did it right before bed.
My other question is, the Matrix, how did you come up with the concept and making it a teaching tool? And of all the things that you could talk about and help people, what was it about forgiveness was your jam, was your thing that you wanted to help people?
Well, I named it the Forgiveness Matrix, probably because the movies, The Matrix, is my husband's favorite movie, and he's seen them all 100 times. But in that movie, it's all about, everybody's seen The Matrix. And it seems to me that what we go through with anger is very similar. We're locked into a world of not of our own making. And people and places and things make us angry. And instead of being the authentic soul that we came down here to be, now all of a sudden we're somebody else, almost living somebody else's life because we're angry and we've been put in a different path. And it's not your fault that happened. It happened. So forgiveness actually wakes us up. It gets rid of all that anger energy, and it puts you back on the path that you were always meant to be on.
So your advice is to forgive what you can and then move on. And that will be empowering. So have you got a success story of an individual where they found peace and healing by embracing this philosophy?
My client I was talking about before, she bought the book, she applied the steps, she did everything. I have no idea if she did her number 10s or not, but she was applying the process, and I just watched her on Facebook, and her posts went from angry to happy and lighter, and it was just the most amazing transformation I've ever seen. And it's amazing what this will do for somebody. It really will. It's amazing what this will do. And it'll make you feel better.
It feels like it would be a sort of a cleansing exercise, that forgiveness is you're ridding of the toxicity, forgiveness out of your body. And you, after you've got it out of your body, you've forgiven whoever, you found a strategy to deal with the number 10, even though there's a wire, there's something wrong with them. I figured that. At least you've given me a better idea of who I'm dealing with, which I had an idea. How should you feel after going through the process that you've forgiven people from 1 to 10? What was the main goal of writing the book and coming up with the concept of the Matrix?
Going to embrace the newness. This is a detox, and it works better than a green smoothie. And it's a lot more permanent, but it takes a lot longer because it's a process. Sometimes you don't forgive people on the first pass because you're angry. But some people are going to go through this whole process and they're not going to know who they are at the end because they've been living their stuff. They've been living, it's been a badge of courage. They've been telling this story and they've worn this coat, so to speak, for so many years. And the reason they don't want to forgive is, who am I going to be if I don't have my story? I am my story. I'm proud of it. That's the fuel I've been using. And that's the gasoline that gets me going because I'm a survivor and I survived this horrible thing. Okay, I was a survivor of a horrible thing too. But once I took that coat off, I became somebody else and I could help people and I could start on a path of helping other people take off that coat like I was wearing for so many years. I was really angry years and years. And I didn't want to give up my story because who would I be if I didn't have my story? That's scary. You don't know who you're going to be. You don't know what you're going to do. It's really scary. One of the scariest things you'll ever do. But you are a beautiful soul, and the person that you are meant to be will finally be able to shine.
How can people learn more about you and get your book?
My book is available on Amazon. It's available as an ebook. It's a paperback, and the audiobook, we are working on it as we speak. My youngest son and I is producing it. So
are you voicing the audiobook?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yep, it's all me. Audiobooks are not as easy as you think. It takes a while to get this thing out. It's not
Excellent.
just like reading. Everybody thinks voiceover is really easy. You watch a cartoon and you think, oh, it's so easy. They just go in and they talk and then they leave.
No.
It isn't.
I for my book I had to do the audiobook and it was long. It was
Yep.
during COVID. We had to do it certain times of the day because my voice sounded different in the morning as opposed to the afternoon. And then, and my producer was a stickler for a little detail, so I would be saying the same line over and over. So
And he
yeah,
had to he had my desk surrounded where I'm sitting now with blankets because I guess the sound was bouncing off the walls. Oh, it's a huge process. But you can also go to my website, katherinegiovanni.com, and Catherine is spelled a little bit weird. It's Katherine Giovanni.com.
Oh, actually, you know what? Now I'm looking at it, it is spelled a bit weird. Okay.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mom. Rarest form of spelling of Catherine out there. Thanks, Mom.
Catherine Giovanni, author of The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, Unlocking Your Power. I want to thank you so much for being here on the Executive Health Podcast. You told me it's okay not to forget, not to forgive my number 10. You helped me understand who they are, which I had my own ideas who they were, but now you've given me another technical term for them, that there's something wrong. They've got that extra wire. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. But I think forgiving, no matter what it is we go through in life, you've got to find a way to move on. And I think listening and also reading your book is going to help me further my life and help it make it even a little bit better. But there's some parts you just can't forgive, and you've made it easier for me to understand. So for that, I'm eternally grateful for me personally, but I think also on behalf of the people listening to the show that they're gonna find a lot of insight by going to your website and also by reading your book. So once again, Catherine Giovanni, thank you for being here on the show.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Can you do me a favor? Show some love for the podcast by leaving me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Can you share it? And subscribe to or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm David Eady. Thanks for listening.